Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers who had never seen Survivor before started from the very beginning and have made their way all the way to China. I'm Patrick.
I'm Chris, and this week we are talking about Survivor Season 15 China, Episodes 9, 10, 11, 12. And I had a note to start this off that ended up kind of coming true by the end of the episode. It was a note I typed in here of like a question I was going to ask you. And then it basically happened where I was thinking with all the Survivor we've been watching, they always end after Tribal Council when somebody gets voted out. And it's like the opposite of a cliffhanger because it's like wrapping up a story and it's like done. And I was like, what if Survivor changed where they do the episode splits? And I was like, what if they, at the end of the immunity challenge, they're like, okay, and you get immunity. Find out what happens at Tribal Council next week. And like the episodes went immunity challenge to immunity challenge rather than Tribal Council to Tribal Council, which was a question I was going to ask you. And then that like almost kind of happened at the end of this episode because it ends after an immunity challenge or it ends after Tribal Council, but then they go immediately into the next challenge. Jeff is like, but wait, we have one more thing, which ended up being like the dumbest of cliffhangers. I was annoyed by it. So ignoring that, tell me why you don't like my idea.
I mostly think that it would make it confusing. Like, I think, like, for players, Tribal Council to Tribal Council is, like, one cycle. And I think that it would get confusing to watch, like, with cliffhangers like that all the time. Also, I've watched, like, a couple seasons of The Bachelor, and they do that sometimes, where they just, like, stop caring that rose ceremonies are supposed to happen at the end of episodes, and they just, like, end episodes wherever the fuck they want, and mm-hmm. sometimes there's a rose ceremony in an episode, and sometimes there's not, and it drives me crazy, because, like, I'm not like, ooh, what's gonna happen? I'm mostly, like, I think there's a fine line between cliffhanger and not feeling satisfied.
Well, I think it's somewhat different than The Bachelor because that is not always the same. But this one you could do basically the same except for the first episode and last episode. So the first episode would give you more intro time with people. And then after the first challenge, it would stop. And then for the finale, obviously, that would be different. But then in between, it would always go challenge to challenge. So it would be the same every single week of like, okay. And then the reason I kind of thought of it too is we always start the episode with like the aftermath of Tribal Council from the previous week, where in this case that would like continue the story of like, okay, they got eliminated. Let's see the aftermath of that and then how that warp like turns into the new arc.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that like they have tried some cliffhanger type things. Like I believe in back in Pearl Islands when they introduced the Outcasts, there was like some weird cliffhanger stuff. In season 41, there was like a cliffhanger of like, is Erica gonna shatter the hourglass and stuff, and I feel like people were mostly pissed off.
I mean, I'm not completely sold on this idea, but this would not be one-off things. Like, people get annoyed when things change. This would be a completely new formatting where this is just what it is. This is standard. And so instead of like week to week, like if you're thinking of like water cooler conversations, instead of being like, oh, did you see so-and-so get voted off? It would be like, oh, so James has immunity. What do you think? So, like, who do you think they're going to go for? So your talk week to week would be like the strategy of how Tribal Council is going to go. And then you get to see it play out. And then like that cycle starts over. I think it would make this podcast more interesting.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Yeah, that's intriguing. I don't know if I like it or not. I see your point of like, I wouldn't like the change. I'm trying to think through if I think I'm bothered by, and maybe it's just because this is the way it's always been, but like having nine people at the beginning of the episode, like first half of the episode, and then eight people in the second half of the episode, like that, like I feel like a round of play should be an episode, and that like is so obviously like two different rounds of play in every episode, and that would bug me, I think.
Okay. I mean, it's going to be an unanswered question because there's no way Jeff is going to switch that format, but yeah, just kind of thought of it and wondered if they'd ever thought about changing up the format. But after 44 seasons, I don't see them doing that for at least like episode to episode, like how it goes. So we start off episode 9, Don't Eat the Apple, with James shouting good morning to wake everybody up.
This gave big Our Mom vibes.
Yeah, it would be bigger if he was singing some Jimmy Buffett song to wake them all up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that she has sang the good morning song to us too to wake us up.
Yeah, that's true. Courtney says, it's Christmas. There's no Jean Robert.
He's like the opposite of Santa Claus.
Denise is upset a little bit because she was not included in on the vote. Opposite of Santa Claus. That's Krampus. Plug for Robert. The movie Krampus. If you've never seen Krampus, it's a great movie. It's a horror movie. Adam Scott's in it. I want to say Catherine Hahn, maybe. The one kind of... Oh, shoot. What's the other guy's name? Anyway, it's nothing to do with this episode other than Krampus. But check it out if you're into horror movies, like horror comedies. Very good movie. David Koechner. That's the name I was trying to think of. Toni Collette. Man, this movie has a killer cast.
Yeah,
Catherine, Catherine Hahn.
I've never seen it. No idea that Adam Scott and Catherine Hahn were in that movie.
I was wrong about Catherine Hahn. Doesn't have Catherine Hahn, but it does have Adam Scott, Toni Collette, David Koechner. It's great. It's a very good horror comedy. Probably a little, definitely heavy on both, but it's not like horror comedy like Shaun of the Dead. Like if you don't like horror movies, you can get by with Shaun of the Dead. You wouldn't be able to get by with this. Like it's got enough horror stuff in it that you've got to be in for horror movies to watch it.
Yeah, man. I think that I want to make a life goal of being an Adam Scott completist, because he's just great and everything, and I want to see all of his stuff, so I should watch Krampus.
You should. He has 125 acting credits on IMDb, so you've got your work cut out for you.
Yeah, but I've probably seen a lot of those.
That's probably
at least
true.
20 of them.
His earliest acting credit was an audience member in a music video for the REM song Drive.
Oh, well, that's easy. That'll take me like a couple minutes.
Yeah, a lot of the acting credits on here are like TV episodes, so you could blitz through a lot of those very quickly.
I'm currently doing a rewatch of Boy Meets World.
There you go. He's in four episodes of that.
In the Adam Scott era.
Yeah.
He's only in four episodes?
Yeah.
Oh, I might be done with the Adam Scott era.
Yeah, it's pretty short-lived. Man, he lives in a lot of... Yeah, you could... You could Adam Scott it pretty easily, I feel like. But we should probably talk about Survivor China, not Adam Scott.
Yeah, especially because we have four Krampus. Episodes to talk about.
Yeah. There's some annoyance at PG for like micromanaging stuff, which that used to be like what Jean Robert did, but now he's gone, so PG's kind of doing it. We see Courtney flirting with Frosty. We head to the reward challenge, which they will compete in two teams of four, where they have four different sized drums that they must use to bounce a ball in the air through an obstacle course. And they have to do that three times.
This was a amazing challenge. Like, it is like a very challenging team challenge that I would have gone insane.
Oh, I think they needed to change the rules of this because I think they made it too easy for... I think they like needed to change a few things up. I think doing it three times is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think it should just be a one-time thing, but all it had to be was you have to bounce this ball on drums. It does not even every person has to take place. So the winning team was Eric, Frosty, Amanda, and Courtney. I don't know that Amanda and Courtney ever touched that ball. It was just the Eric and Frosty show. And so like that sort of like cheese for it of like getting around it, I feel like they should have reworked the rules to make that not a possibility. Like you need everybody involved in a team challenge.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That also bugged me, but I was watching it happen, and a big part of this is that, like, there were obstacles in the path. So at times, like, one person could kind of just, like, juggle the ball on their drum for a while, and then they would have to pass it to someone else, and it looked so hard every time.
Well, plus, yeah, like, I'm surprised. We've watched, this is our 19th season of Survivor we've watched, and I guess it's just the nature of, like, you have to keep your composure kind of for the nature of not getting voted out. I'm surprised we don't see people halfway through challenges just be like, fuck this, I'm done, and just give up.
Yeah.
Because they're like, so often it's like, well, clearly that guy's way ahead. He's going to win. Why am I jumping in the mud pile here? Like, whatever, like the challenge takes, like, that's not this challenge, but like in the season 44, that like spider web net thing that like Carolyn got stuck in, and Carson was like internally thinking, please God, don't let her get through here because I don't want to have to jump in that because I know I'm going to lose. But then he still like she got through in enough time that like he had time that he had to go in there to like show that he was giving his effort. I'm surprised we don't see people be like, you know what, Jeff, I'm good actually. Like, I don't want to get in there. And I know that's the nature of it. You have to like show you're giving an effort for like strategy, but I don't know. I hope we encounter a contestant at some point who's just like, no, I'm good actually. Like, I'm not gonna do that because I'm already gonna lose this challenge. So the yellow team, Eric Frosty, Amanda Courtney, do win this challenge. Back at camp, we get a little bit of time. PG is mad. Because in the past, James accused her of like giving up on challenges, and in this one, she says that he was not giving as much of an effort. So just some bickering between PG and James here, which is a big look for PG, considering she like at this point thinks she is like next one to go, which she self realizes like she like eventually is like I need to go cool off, and she goes and swims and like has a talk into the camera where she's like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. James is worried that Courtney and Frosty's relationship might mess.
Sorry, I need to say something about that because PG gets pissed at James and is like, you accused me of always throwing challenges. And it's like, no, PG, you admitted to throwing challenges. You told them that you threw the challenge. It's not an accusation. You did it and you talked about it. I was very surprised that like that was not part of this conversation of like she called it like you claimed that I did this thing. But I don't see you working very hard on it. And I was like, no, but you did
Did
actually throw a challenge. It
was
wasn't an
PG the
accusation.
one throwing? Oh yeah, PG and Jamie try to throw a challenge. And to be fair, James was trying to throw a challenge like the episode right after that too. So they both are guilty of trying to throw challenges.
Yeah, that's fair. I was just like, I was
My
pretty
guess is her
frustrated.
anger here was not related to her actual throwing of challenges, but to like some comment James must have made about her like not giving effort in a challenge she was actually trying in.
Oh, maybe. That's fair.
We get to see some time with the winners of the reward challenge on their cruise of the Lee River. There's some people complaining about PG, which at this point, like based off of tribal lines and stuff, Eric and PG are like the last two of their like group. And so they're complaining
Of
about
the
PG.
original John Hu.
Yeah, they're complaining about PG, and Eric's like, yeah, totally, right? And he's like cool with it because he's like, as long as they want to get rid of PG, that means I'm safe. We learn that Eric can do a fantastic goat impression.
Yes, very
Maybe
good.
he should get a goat trophy. Their food that they get is some very traditional Chinese food. Nope, it's not. It's fried chicken, mashed potatoes with gravy, and other stuff, which I thought was weird. I know they're like, they don't have to always eat Chinese food, I guess, but I was just like, I don't know. That seemed weird. But
Oh, I think
I
that's
guess we get
real.
food rewards like that all the time of just like the stuff that they're craving.
Yeah.
But when they go
They
back,
do claim to everybody else that they just got traditional Chinese food because they thought that they would be pissed if they told them that they got fried chicken and mashed potatoes.
And when they get back, they say that, and then Todd fills in to them about PG and James fighting. And we head to the immunity challenge, which they have a 4x4 grid of zodiac symbols, and Jeff is going to read out a list of zodiac animals, and then they have to stab them in the correct order. And if you don't want to compete, you don't have to, and you can eat cheeseburger fries and drinks instead. Courtney, Todd, Denise, and James choose to eat instead of compete, and then the rest are competing. Three-fourths of the people who are competing, I noted, like three of the four people competing are people who just won the reward. So they just got food, which makes sense for why they're like, okay, I can compete.
Yeah.
When Jeff started this challenge, I was like, there's got to be more to it than that, right? That seems too easy. And then which I still think it is like a fairly easy thing, but then by round three, I was like watching and he'd read it out and I'm like, okay. And then I would go to say it myself and I was like, oh shit, I messed up. And so I guess maybe not as easy as I thought. Plus, they're running on empty, and so like their brains are not at full power.
Right.
Eric is out first round, and then Amanda after the second round, and Frosty after the third round, which means PG wins immunity, which throws a wrench in their plans because that was going to be the next vote out. So we get a little bit of time at camp trying to figure out who's going to be next. There's some talk about being worried about Eric, some talk about maybe Courtney or Frosty. There's been some talk, like in this episode, of Frosty being worried that he was being replaced with Eric in the Big Alliance. And we go to Tribal Council, where James says that he ate 7 burgers during that challenge, which that's impressive. That's a lot of burgers.
It's a wild number, yeah.
You got to eat a lot of burgers when you have more muscles than people normally have.
Yeah, part of this is that they were only allowed to eat for as long as the challenge was happening. And there were only like 4 rounds of this challenge. So I'm not really surprised by the eating 7 cheeseburgers. I'm surprised by the eating 7 cheeseburgers in like a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, in between rounds, they'd have to go and like set all of the pictures back with new ones or whatever.
That's fair. That's fair. It's still fast.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Frosty gets voted out. And when they're all like about getting ready to leave, Jeff is like, but wait, we have more business to attend to. Cliffhanger.
And then for people back in 2007, right? 2007?
Yeah.
This would have been a 2-week cliffhanger.
Yeah. I think one of them came like the week of Thanksgiving, probably. Maybe.
Yes. The recap episode was the week of Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And weirdly, I got confused by this for a moment. The episodes coming up, like when they give a preview of next week on Survivor, I assumed the clips were going to be of like the new stuff, but they were clips from the recap episode.
Well, yeah, that would have been next week on Survivor.
It's like next week on Survivor, last week on Survivor or something. Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
So then we get the recap episode. It's been real and it's been fun, which I don't know that this episode was fun. I made 2 notes. Lots of food talk. This episode was worthless.
Well, these episodes are always pretty worthless. I do think that this one had more things that I was like, man, I wish they would have shown that in the larger thing. A lot of it being survival. Like, I feel like we haven't seen a ton of, we've seen like some camp life, but not a lot of like actual survival happening. And there's one point when Jean-Hu gets back to their camp and it's like all flooded. And we see in this episode that they like created a gutter system in their camp in order to like divert all of the water down to the lake, which was brilliant and awesome. And I was like, I'm glad that I get to see this. This is cool. That's about it, though.
It was a good idea. We do see in this next couple episodes that their camp still often gets flooded.
Well, I think they're at Fei Long.
Oh, well, yeah, but then if they have this knowledge and skills of building a gutter system, then like, why not bring that to Fei Long?
Because Eric and PG think they're going to get voted out in a second.
Yeah, but they're not the only people here.
Yeah, but they're the ones with the knowledge.
Hmm. Yeah, so we head into the next episode, I'm Ready to Bite the Apple, episode 11, which I will say the last one was Just Don't Eat the Apple, which we didn't talk about at all. James has this thing of like, their alliance is this like sacred Eden like thing, and they have this temptation from other people like Courtney and Frosty like flirting with each other, and Eric maybe getting in on that there's this temptation, and he's like, don't bite that apple of the temptation. And so then this episode is I'm Ready to Bite the Apple, which we find out that the cliffhanger was, we're just gonna go right to a reward challenge. It's not like a double elimination, like vote again. It's just, we're having another reward.
Which I did like that it was like immediate challenge after Tribal Council, but I was really hoping that it would be another elimination right away.
Yeah. And so the challenge is trivia about China, and PG wins this reward. And Jeff tells her to go sit on the jury bench. And he says,
were there any of these questions that you were surprised by or that you like thought were interesting?
No. For the most part, the China trivia, they've been having this because there's more of it coming in the next episode, maybe?
Yes.
I felt has been fairly easy.
Or maybe I just know
enough about it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The very last question in this challenge was like, in Chinese culture, if you receive an envelope with a red envelope
from
someone, what is traditionally inside of that envelope? And that I thought they wrote the question well, because I did not know that trivia, and I could have seen any of the four options being correct.
That one I knew.
So like, I was just it was like blood letter, cash, a draft summons, and then another thing. I don't remember what the third thing was, but I was like, I could see that any of those being like a thing in Chinese culture.
Yeah, that one I just knew. So before the options were even read, I was just like, oh, that's money. Yeah, but PG had a little bit of pride there in winning too, because she is Chinese, and so I think she was happy about that. But Jeff has her go sit on the jury bench and says that she's going to go to a Shaolin temple, and she gets to take two people with her. And she chooses Eric and Denise. I thought this whole thing felt weird to me. He was like, okay, go sit on the jury bench. And then from there, he's like, pick two people, which I guess they usually do have the winner like come stand separate. It was just like having her go sit on the jury bench. I was like, ooh, now we're like, these ones going to have to vote each other out. I thought the cliffhanger was going to be more. And when it was just like, nope. And then now you all go back to camp. I was like, oh, that was it. We just waited 2 weeks for that. It just was weird.
Yeah, I agree.
So we get some time back at camp. We see the Eric, Denise, and PG leave for the reward. James, Todd, Amanda, and Courtney are the ones left. And they're like, hey, this could be a final four. And James says, don't be tempted by the apple of PG. We get a confessional of Amanda saying she doesn't want to go to the final three with any of them. And so this is the start of seeing Amanda kind of talk about how she's maybe willing to break up the alliance. The reward, we see a very similar conversation where PG's like, hey, we could be the final three. If we just get one more, then we have the numbers and we can vote other people out. We learn that Denise has been studying karate for 8 years. I made a personal note that this whole scene made me want to watch Mulan. One of the monks there asks Denise to give a demonstration of some of her skills, which she does. And so that was fun.
Yeah, this stretch of episodes, we get it a little bit in the next episode too. I felt like really highlighted Denise in a really cool way, because I feel like earlier in the season, the portrayal of Denise has been like not super kind, I feel like, from like an editing standpoint. And then I feel like this episode and the next episode like boosted her up a lot, which was very nice to see.
Mm-hmm. Back at camp, it is pouring rain, so they're all huddled in this sort of like muddy cave thing. The rewardees return. Eric talks to James to try to find out, like, hey, can I flip him to be on my side and switch the alliance? And he pretty quickly finds out that James does not want to flip. Amanda suggests to Courtney, hey, why don't we blindside James and get rid of the idols? And she says that James is a big threat because he has idols. He does a lot of work around camp, and he does well in challenges. So he's like a big threat all around. And we go... they get tree mail, which is some throwing stars. And then we go straight to the challenge. And I was really disappointed we didn't get to see them practice some of their throwing stars around camp.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah. I feel like we do usually get to see that. I didn't even think about it.
And then we go to the challenge where I have a real... this is a common thing that's happened in Survivor. I have a big complaint with these weapon throwing challenges. They do this all the time. And it's fun watching people throw weapons, I think. But maybe other people disagree. And then the challenge is like, all right, everybody gets one throw. Best throw wins. This one was three throws. But I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you can edit this down. It doesn't matter. If you give them 10 throws, you can edit down a montage but make it more interesting. Like, I want to see them throw stuff. Give them some chances here. I get annoyed that, like, we've seen that before with, like, spear throwing, where it's like, okay, the spear you've never thrown before, best throw wins, and they each get one throw. And I'm like, come on. Give them a chance.
Yeah. I agree. I thought this one was better because they got three.
Yeah. And you could tell, like, I feel like they were, like, learning or getting better as it went, and that's, like, the idea, like, give them some more, which I guess they have them back at camp, which is supposed to be, like, their practice time, but I don't know. So they get some throws where the top few get to advance for, like, a final round where it's best throw wins, and Eric is the one who pulls out the win here, which means he has immunity, so he gets to hold on a little bit longer. Back at camp, James is like, well, obviously it's going to be PG. That's been our plan this whole time. Amanda takes her pitch to Todd about maybe getting rid of James. And we see him, Denise, Amanda, Todd, Courtney are in for James. But they're worried that if he plays an idol, like what's going to happen? PG finds out that James has an idol. Like she wasn't aware that he had an idol, I guess. She found it hidden in the roof of the shelter right above where he sleeps. And she takes this to Amanda. And Amanda's like, listen, be cool. Don't worry about it. Just trust me. Don't say anything. Okay.
And PG kind of like fights back a little bit, and Amanda is like, listen, it's in your best interest to just look like you're gonna lose.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Which then PG takes us to Eric and says that, hey, we should vote Todd just in case James plays his idol so that way Todd will get eliminated. So we go to tribal council and James gets voted out 5-1-1.
With two immunity idols
Yeah,
in his
with
bag.
two immunity idols, his and the one Todd had found. 5-1-1, we saw happen in season 2 to Marilyn.
No, bad
And
dog.
season 15, and then it happens one more time in Survivor, but we have not seen that other time yet.
Is this the first time that, like, chronologically, ignoring New Era, is this the first time that we've seen someone get voted out with an immunity idol?
Maybe that sounds right. You would definitely
Yeah.
remember more than me. I never
I'm
pay
pretty
attention to
sure
stuff.
in this is only like the second season where it was not like able to be used after the vote was read. And last season, I think Yao Man like used it correctly. And so I don't think anyone got voted out with it. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and it's also early enough in the idols that it doesn't seem like they're going to be like a, okay, they're voted out, now they're getting rehidden sort of thing. It's just like they were here and they're gone. Like in modern day Survivor, they would have been rehidden. And so this next episode would
Yeah.
have dealt with that. But that is not the case now. As we head into the last episode we're talking about this week, which is going for the Oscar, there's a little bit of talk the night after Tribal about how exciting it was. The next day, they're all huddled in that little cave again because it's raining so hard. Todd says that his main alliance is him, Denise, Courtney, and Amanda. So that would be those four, with Eric and who am I leaving out?
PG.
PG. Yeah, I forgot PG's still around. PG as the other two. We go to the reward challenge where Jeff's like, you're going to be split into teams of two with one of you on either side of this maze, blindfolded, trying to find the center together. And your partner is going to be Eric's mom, Denise. And then they
Yeah.
start bringing out all the loved ones. So Eric's mom, Denise, Todd's sister, Brandy, which they have a forceful hug, so forceful that Jeff says, that's a hug. Which Todd asks about Brandy or asks about Kim. And she's like, Kim's fine, but she miscarried the baby. And this felt very, very, very much, which it ended up coming up. But when I watched it, I was like, this looks exactly like the Johnny Fairplay situation where his grandma died. Turns
I
out, as
agree
far
with
as we
you, and I thought
know,
the same thing, except that this was like whispered into his ear, where I think that the Johnny Fairplay was like loud enough that everybody could hear it.
yeah,
Which
that's fair.
I believed this one initially. I still do, but like.
Yeah, as far as we know, this is real, and his sister unfortunately miscarried her baby a couple months into pregnancy. We have Denise with her husband Robert, Amanda's sister Katrina, PG with her dad Lawrence, and Courtney with her dad Graham. And I think we need to get these loved one visits back in modern day Survivor. I miss this stuff. Bring it back,
Yeah,
Jeff. What
I
the heck?
particularly when like loved one visit itself is nice and is touching. I really like the like, okay, now loved one, you're competing in the challenge too. That's
Yep.
very fun. And yeah, I'm all for it.
We find out that the winner of the challenge will get a boat trip and a meal and a phone call back home from Sprint phone by Sprint, I guess. Big sponsors of the
Yeah,
show.
Huckleberry. Did Jeff says Sprint, known for speed and communication. Did you know that that's why it's called Sprint? Or is that why it's called Sprint?
I don't know, but it makes sense.
I was like, that I've never heard that before.
I don't often think that I think about why a business is called what it is. It's just, it is what it is. And I don't usually put much thought into it. But hey, it makes sense. So they start the challenge. And one of the key moments of it, I think, for me, was that the way that most of them shouted was like, hey, follow my voice. I'm over here. And the way that Amanda and Katrina, sisters, communicated was they would make bird noises, which was fantastic. I loved it. And the other contestants did not really like it. There's like, I think Denise or PG, somebody at some point was like, shut up. Like they were like, the bird noises were distracting to them, which is perfect. Like that's what you want.
That is for listeners. That is why I made a bird noise at the beginning of this episode.
I kind of just glided right past that. I couldn't tell what you did. Okay. That makes sense. Denise and her husband win this. This was a kind of a weird it was a weird challenge. I don't know strategically how to handle this, because it's like you could make it to the center, but you have no idea the obstacles your partner has to get through.
I very much was like, I feel like the strategy is each person get to the center. Don't worry about finding each other until you're at the center.
Yeah. And so if one did make it to the center, they'd be like, okay, follow my voice to try to get this way. But then sometimes they just run into a wall and couldn't go farther. But I was, for a second, I was like, is this challenge going to be almost instantly over? Because I don't know if it was Denise. Somebody was at the center immediately.
I think it was Todd. Todd got exact to the center path. Really quick.
Yeah. But Denise and her husband pull it off. They get the win. And she gets to pick two people and their loved ones to come with her on the trip. And so she chooses Todd and his sister. And then Amanda and her sister, which we'll get a little bit of talk of PG being annoyed at Denise for this, because in the last episode, PG got to pick somebody to go on a challenge, and she picked Denise to go on the challenge, and Denise did not repay the favor here. So they get to eat some food on the boat and enjoy their time. Denise gets a call from her daughter, which is very sweet. And back at camp, we see PG is mad at Denise. They talk about not believing Todd's sister's miscarriage, and Courtney says Todd was going for the Oscar, which is the name of the episode. The rewardees return with their loved ones. The loved ones are going to stay the night here, which would be fun most seasons. I'm sure it was still fun here. Their camp, compared to most seasons, is awful. Like, it looks horrible. It's just all muddy and dirty. Not a good camp. And definitely not room for everybody to, sleep on a surface that's not the muddy ground.
Yeah, I watched this with Kayla actually earlier today, and I was like, I am surprised that no loved ones are ever like, I'll go back to my hotel, thanks.
They cannot bring food back with them from the reward, but they do have their fingers covered in chocolate. And bring that back for the other contestants to lick off their fingers. Todd brings up that his sister's information about his sister having a miscarriage was not a lie. He's like, I know what it sounds like. It wasn't. It was real. And they get information there. Todd and Amanda talk strategy with their sisters in the water. They say that they want Courtney in the final three and not Denise, just because Denise would be a harder person to beat in the final tribal council. The next day,
reason for that is that she has a good story, and also that they say that they have pissed everyone off in the jury, but Denise hasn't, which I think is a good point. It's the we've all burned the same bridges, and so let's compete against each other, which I think is great.
Yeah, and I don't think Courtney has a lot of connections. Denise kind of explains to PG why she chose Amanda over PG for the challenge. She said that Amanda needed food, basically. And we head to the immunity challenge, where they are attached to a rope that snakes them through an obstacle course. And at the end is a set of boxes with true and false statements of China trivia, where they have to get keys, and they have to do this three times to get three keys and unlock a box to release their flag. And you could really tell in this challenge, everybody's exhausted. Nobody, after the first length of the challenge, nobody was running anymore. It was all walking.
Yeah.
Todd and Amanda have pretty big leads for a while. And then Amanda's second key is wrong. So that basically puts her a whole lap behind. And then Todd's last key was wrong. So it puts him a whole lap behind. Which that one really confused me because I swear it showed him read the question and reach his hand into the correct answer. And I was like, he picked the right answer. But he must have, that was just like an editing thing, or he must have switched it off camera and like grabbed the other one. Because when it was wrong, I was like, no, the Chinese did invent gunpowder.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that too, and I was like, I wonder if he's just like not trying the key well enough.
Because it was that, yeah, his question was like true, or it was like they had to pick which one was true, and it was like Chinese invented gunpowder or Chinese invented something else. And it showed him reaching into the gunpowder one, which they did invent.
I
And
think the other one might have been like Chinese checkers, which I was
yeah, that
like,
could
yeah,
be.
no, it's not that.
And so yeah, he couldn't get his key to work, and PG ended up winning, so she has immunity here. So we get a little bit of talk back at camp. The big alliance plan is to vote Eric out. He's been like the one on the outskirts for a while now. He's just kind of been hanging around. Todd is a little bit worried that Amanda might flip. Eric is doing his best to like talk to others. And it seems kind of like he's like, it seems like everybody doesn't trust Todd, and yet nobody's willing to flip on Todd. PG's like, good luck, Eric. I'll vote for Todd for you, but you're going to need another person or two for this to work. So they try to go to Denise with a promise of final three, where their story to Denise was like, listen, you can stick with them, but the best you're going to do is final four. We can get you to the final three.
Which
And
is
they were,
a good move.
yeah, because right now we're in the era of Survivor that they have a final three, like it's three people in the final. And they were not convincing enough. And so we go to Tribal Council, and Eric gets voted out 4-2. They give a preview for next week, which, shows that maybe Amanda links up with PG and Denise, but that's all I really like noted down.
Which means
Yeah.
that the final five that we have is four women and Todd.
Oh, that's fun. That's exciting. That's good. I meant to mention that when we were talking about, we just filmed or recorded the season 44 wrap up, because season 44 started off with so many women getting eliminated, and then it ended up with a final that was like two women, or even the final five was like three women and two guys. And we
Yeah.
never talked about that. Now we have. Yeah, so that ends up that batch of episodes. Next week, we will talk about episodes 13, 14, and 15, which will be the second to last episode, the finale, and then the reunion episode. Patrick and I talked before we recorded. We already know we've had spoiled who the winner of the season is going to be. And so we can't really make any predictions about like who's going to get eliminated next. I will say last week when we recorded, I predicted PG, Eric, and Courtney would get eliminated. And Patrick predicted PG, Eric, and Frosty. So we were correct that Eric got eliminated, and Patrick was correct that Frosty got eliminated. But PG is still around, and Courtney is still around. So I was
He
wrong about
just
those.
keeps kicking.
I mean, at this point, I feel like you want to keep her around. If you're planning to make it to the final, it's not bad to pull PG with you, because it feels like not many people like PG. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think that a lot of the Xianhu people would maybe vote for PG, and she has a good story.
Yeah, that's true. We will see. After that, so next week will be the end of the season, and then after that we'll start in on 16. So if you are trying to watch along, you can start in on season 16. Our first episode of that will be just a couple episodes, and then we'll start doing our 3 and 4 episodes a week batch. Patrick, do you have any luxury items this week, the month, or the week of June 27th and the June into July?
Yeah, definitely do. Watermelon. Damn, that shit's great.
Oh, okay.
We've been rolling
Interesting.
a watermelon around here. My wife is pregnant and she keeps saying that the baby wants watermelon. And man, I'm happy about it because watermelon's delicious.
I'm not a big watermelon person. I feel like
You should get
I've had
the
too
big
much
grape.
grainy watermelon. That's not good. But I just like stay away from it now.
Great watermelon.
Like I'll take a cantaloupe over watermelon any day.
Ugh, why?
Because cantaloupe's
Oh,
good.
I'm
So
ashamed of
juicy.
you. No, watermelon, great stuff. I didn't realize that we were like attacking each other's luxury items.
I wasn't attacking it. I was just saying my opinion on it, that I wasn't a big watermelon person.
Okay.
And then I said I like something else, and you
What's
pretended
your
like you were
luxury item,
throwing up
Chris?
from it. So it sounds like you are more attacking my opinion. traveling, planning traveling, I guess, is my luxury item. I recently found out I was awarded a travel grant through my school, and so I've been booking and planning travel through that. And it's just fun. It's fun to look up cities you haven't been to, try to find out like places you should stay there, places you should eat, what you should do. Yeah, that's my luxury item is planning travel. It's fun.
Man, I love traveling. I'm not a huge fan of the planning part of it.
Oh, I love it. Just like bouncing around on looking at different hotels or Airbnbs and trying to be like, ooh, this one looks fun. Finding out what are the good neighborhoods to be at. And then I actually haven't even gotten to the food part of the planning. That's the best part, is like trying to figure out what restaurants you want to go to. Oh yeah, I love it. It's very good watch TV pastime. Watch TV and do that. All right, listeners, let us know your favorite melon to eat by emailing us at travelcouncilpodcast@gmail.com or tweeting us at travelcouncil20. And
If
for
you
this
say
week,
honeydew, I don't want you on our to listen to our podcast anymore.
honey, I'll agree with you there. I'm not a honeydew fan. I do like Camelot. This week at Travel Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.